All right, this is the meeting of the Pacifica National Programming Committee. Hello?
Hello,
yeah, we're here.
Okay. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee. We're meeting on Monday, September the 19th. And my name is Rob Robinson. I'm the chair of the committee. And I would like to begin the meeting by asking our secretary, Serene Roberts, to to call the roll to begin with. Serene?
Sure. Beginning with the Houston station, Ngozi Kamau.
Here.
Adnan Lakhani. Adnan, on mute. Oh, maybe that's who dropped off. Well, we'll see. Ken Freeland.
Here.
New York, Patty Heffley.
Here.
Sean Rhodes.
Here.
And I, Serene Roberts, am here. Washington, D.C., Rob Robinson.
Here.
Hakam Takash. Cade Campbell. Moving to Berkeley, Bonnie Simmons.
Here.
William Walker. Joe Wanzala. Wanzala. We lost Joe as well.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Madam Secretary, what's our attendance at this point?
We are at 8.
Did you call my name?
Who's that?
This is Adnan from KPFT.
Oh, yeah. Were you muted?
Yes, I was.
Oh, we thought you might have dropped off. Okay.
Okay. So we now have
We're at 9.
We're at 9 members, a quorum is 8, so we can move ahead. The first thing I would like to ask is that we consider approving the minutes of the meeting from July 18th.
Didn't we do that while we were on the call? Didn't we do that while we were on the call?
Seems to me we did.
At the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Am I incorrect? We approved the July 18th minutes?
Yeah, at the meeting.
Yes.
At the end of the meeting.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's from before. And so then when we didn't have a quorum in August, we weren't able to take that up. Okay. I beg your pardon. Then I'd like to talk about approving the agenda for the meeting, for tonight's meeting. Are there any questions about the agenda or additions, suggestions?
We've got an old business and a new business part of the meeting, right? So anything can be brought up under new business, is that correct?
What are you saying, Ken?
Any item can be brought up under new business. It doesn't need to be mentioned at this point, right?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Did you have something you wanted to add to old business or new business?
To new business, yeah.
Can you tell me what it is?
Yes. I would like us to spend at least a couple of minutes talking about how decisions are currently being made with respect to network broadcasting.
Good discussion.
Yep. And a lot of people want to know the answer, but I don't have it. So as a member of this committee, I think I need it.
Okay. Any other discussions about the meeting agenda? Hearing none.
I move that we approve the agenda.
Pardon me?
I move that we approve the agenda.
Second.
Thank you so much. So the agenda is approved.
Only if there's no objection.
I'm sorry, I forgot to ask for objections. Do we have any objections to the agenda? Hearing no objections, then I would like to ask that we approve the agenda for the September 19th meeting. And move on. Okay. Madam Secretary, are there any issues about the listserv that we need to let people know about, how to get to the listserv, problems they have with the listserv, archiving documents up there?
No one's indicated that they're having a problem receiving email.
Okay.
So I'm assuming all is well.
Does everyone on the committee know how to get archived documents off of the listserv? Because I would like help doing that. I'm sorry. But I'm going to have to tell it like it is.
Well, walk with your laptop, and we'll teach you in Houston. I'm sure someone will be there with skills.
Okay. Are you going to be in Houston, Serene?
Probably.
Okay. I would just like, Serene, if we could do something to provide people with a thumbnail on how to put documents on and how to find archived documents, that would be great.
Okay. Well, the files, in order to access Yahoo Groups, you have to have either a Yahoo email address, which is free, but of course nothing really is free, or a Yahoo ID that goes along with your
right.
your paid ISP provider given address. So once you're on the listserv, and I'm going to send everyone a post from it, at some point, so you can have the address fresh. Actually, I don't think anyone is totally confused about it, but only members of the listserv, which are the committee members and the PDs around the network, are eligible to read and or post to the list. If there are documents that you want, and we actually have five folders, approved minutes, committee motions, and so on and so forth, anyone can add something to the file section. It's not limited to people who, anyone who's a member of the committee has full access of all the options available through Yahoo, including photos if you feel the urge to post much.
Yeah, God help us. But the only thing, Serene, is technologically challenged people like myself and other folks run into trouble trying to use the website, the listserv, to access stuff that's already archived there, or to take stuff that we've been sending to the members of the committee and boot it up there. So, and I know you know how to do these things, but many of us are simple-minded people, and we'd like your help, either giving us training or developing some an instructional document that we can all save.
I do have some instructions, and I will send them out. I keep promising to do that. I should put it on my seriously to-do list.
Yeah, because some of us are seriously challenged. Okay.
Someone's trying to ask a question.
Rob, once you get up there, there is a little list on the left-hand side, and you go to File, and then it's pretty self-explanatory once you get there.
But I don't think you don't have a Yahoo ID yet, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
I've had one for years and months.
Oh, we'll have to show you what to do with it then.
Yeah, it's Rob Robinson, D.C.
At Yahoo.com?
What is the name of the Yahoo groups?
It is
PNB-Programming Committee.
But I think you're on. Was that Adnan?
Yes, am I on it?
Yeah, I believe you are.
Okay.
Yeah, you are. Now, you don't have a Yahoo ID. Which
I need to link it. I do have one, but...
Okay, well, what you do is you go to Yahoo... Well, I'll give you instructions off the call.
Okay. We've concluded that portion of the agenda. I want to move on to updates, and I'd like to ask Ken Freeland to talk about discussions, any subsequent discussions we've had on collaborative broadcasting, and Bonnie Simmons to talk about the program evaluation, just so you know what's going on with those ongoing discussions. Ken, could you be first?
Well, since the last meeting, the one in which we didn't receive quorum, there has been no meeting of the Collaborative Broadcast Committee.
Okay. Do we have any meetings, any subsequent meetings scheduled?
None at the moment.
Okay. But we can begin putting out a time frame for that?
Well, when we have an agenda, when there's a clear purpose for the committee to meet, I'm sure it won't be any problem to convene the committee. But at this point...
Could you propose an agenda to the committee members?
When there's... I need to hear that. I don't have one to propose. Okay? I mean, it seems to me that what we're going to discuss tonight in terms of the pending proposal for policy is sort of the fruit, to some extent, of that committee, although it didn't directly spring from that committee. that kind of stem from the discussion, perhaps, of that committee. I don't know. But the only thing that's not included in that proposal, other than the amendment that I've offered, is the two program ideas that sort of were generated by that committee's discussions. So that would probably be about the only thing that remains as a thread. I don't know of any other issues that the committee would need to be discussing at this point. I'm open to the pleasure of this committee as to what it would like that subcommittee to discuss.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. Bonnie Simmons, program evaluation. We haven't been able to set up a meeting date, have we?
Well, we had a rough sled there trying to get everybody together, everybody being five people, I think. So we did not have a follow-up meeting, and then life has conspired to kind of get in the way the last few weeks here. But I think we did a wrap-up on what we went through in the first meeting that the subcommittee had, did we not?
Yeah, we did. To the full committee, correct? Yep.
So that's the report, is we haven't gone farther.
Okay, well, let's...
If you would like, after the national meeting this weekend, I will try to reconvene the subcommittee again.
Yeah, I'd like you to just pick a date and then try to get the members of the committee to agree on appearing.
Oh, yeah, I remember what happened. It just came to me now.
Yeah.
It was that there was another national call called at the same time.
Well, those sorts of things are always going to occur.
Yeah.
Okay. Since the last meeting, one of the things that we did was at the request of the KPFA labor collective and at the request of the executive director, we tried to do some collaborative labor programming around the AFL-CIO's 25th anniversary, not 25th anniversary, their 25th constitutional convention in Chicago, which was the convention in which the split occurred between the AFL-CIO and some members from the Unite or the Change to Win coalition, which included the SEIU, Unite Here, the Teamsters, the laborers, and one of the farm workers' unions. And what we did with that programming is we took programming from the local stations, from reporters, journalists, producers, hosts, and put it up on the audio port. We put that out to the affiliates as well as the local stations. We also had a reporter, Ken Nash from WBAI, who did daily feeds, 15-minute long feeds that he put on the audio port every evening. And we put all that information out for the local stations and the affiliates to work with, as opposed to trying to do that as a national broadcast. There were actually a number of affiliates that downloaded the daily feeds that Ken Nash did. About 20 of them downloaded that on a daily basis, and a number of the local stations ran the other shows. I think one of the things that occurred to us as a result of listening to that programming was that indeed we have the resources as a network to produce programming around issues like labor and other issues of national import that's far better than what we typically hear on our local stations, and certainly much better than what we tend to hear in national broadcasts, and frequently there are no national broadcasts around labor issues. So we were very happy with the results of that showed that collaboratively we can do network broadcasts that are both well-produced, substantive, and more interesting than the things that we tend to hear, and we would like to see that sort of thing happen more in the future. I've asked Alan Minsky, who said he could be with us around 9:30. I don't know if he's here yet, to talk a little bit about that from his perspective. But I just want to say that the work that we heard that Alan Minsky did during the AFL-CIO convention was excellent. And the reports that we had from Ken Nash from WBAI were terrific. And the question is, why can't we provide this type of programming to the network on a regular basis? So that's really what we learned from that experiment. Does anyone want to discuss that in more detail at this point? Any comments at all?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Serene.
I do like the idea of network-wide programming, and I think that we have enough similarity in our program schedules to allow for that kind of coordination. And what I would want to see, although I know everyone is real, you know, protective of what they consider to be their airtime, I would really like to see us do it not just for big events, but or those sort of events that other people think are important, but also to do it for holidays that we think are important, or for events that we as a network just programmatically want to mark. And I like the idea of people working together.
Yeah, I think it produced some really exciting programming. This stuff is still on the audio port. Its title is under Labor 2005, and there's just some really great stuff there. There was an extensive community dialogue, for example, at KPFA in Berkeley with Sheila Jackson Lee, who was a Democratic congresswoman from Texas, actually from Houston. The 18th District, Kent?
Oh, I don't know which one it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that she has the very most progressive immigration legislation that's been introduced in decades. And immigration is really, in case people don't know this, it's one of the issues that drives labor policy. And the interesting thing is that if you look at the media, you would imagine that African Americans and Latino Americans were locked in conflict. And the reality is that if you look at the most progressive legislation that's coming out of Congress in 20 years, it's coming from an African American. And on the other hand, you see legislation that's coming from liberals like Teddy Kennedy and John McCain, who is a Republican, and they're basically talking about expanding the guest worker or bracero program, as it's known to many people in California, Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. And they're basically saying it's okay to bring in a lot more guest workers that work at sub-minimum wage. And these are the types of things that destabilize the labor policy in this country.
Right.
But Sheila Jackson Lee, who was from Houston, Texas, and who has been very active with KPFT, is introducing the very most progressive labor legislation in the country. And the thing that's interesting is that there's not a lot of discussion about this. Ken, would you like to talk about that? I heard you.
No, I'd like to ask you to clarify what you mean by progressive. I mean, what is the gist of this legislation that she's introducing that you consider progressive?
Well, what she's basically saying here is that people that are here that may not have documentation should be enrolled as citizens,
mm-hmm.
That they should be given health care and other services,
mm-hmm.
but that we should not continue doing this forever and ever and ever. The people that are here should be enrolled as citizens, and what we need to do is go forward as a nation. What Kennedy and Bush are trying to do is basically create programs in which we bring waves and waves,
right,
of people in from Mexico and other places that will work at below minimum wage with no benefits. You know, and the problem is that these people are going to wind up leaving the programs and becoming, you know, their health benefits and their other needs are going to become the responsibility of state and local agencies.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we keep bringing people into this country to give business sub-minimum wage workers,
right,
we're not going to get out of the problem.
Right.
Sheila Jackson Lee is saying, no, you've got undocumented workers. You know, these people should be made whole, and then we should go forward, but we should not keep the appetite from big business up for people that will work for little or no money and that don't have to have health care and
lots of luck trying to get that passed or enforced.
yeah. So, I mean, but the point is, this is a national issue for this country on labor policy, and we don't hear it discussed,
right.
You know, in the media at all, and we hear it discussed little, if at all, in Pacifica. KDFA was fortunate enough to do a community forum with Sheila Jackson Lee in Berkeley, and then provide us also at the same time with a personal interview with Sheila Jackson Lee and one of the KPFA reporters, David Bacon. Ken, did you want
to... Yes, please. I'd like to say two things. First of all, I agree 100% that this is an extremely important issue. Getting into the question of how its impact, the impact of immigration and labor policy, and it has been rarely discussed, and it needs a thoroughgoing discussion. Here in Houston, we're about to have several conferences on the Minutemen who are about to come here
mm-hmm.
and start surveilling the streets for undocumented workers. Again, the same controversy is there underneath of it, is what is our immigration policy, how should it be, and so forth and so on, and it's not being discussed. So that issue aside, and I certainly would encourage any kind of programming effort to get a hold of that issue, I want to say something else about the collaborative broadcasting or the network broadcasting.
Sure.
I've heard a lot of feedback from people who appreciate the fact that things like the labor program that we did on the CIO convention and so forth and on the Roberts hearings and all that are being done, but they are concerned that we're over-programming it. And they feel that it would be much better if instead of doing gavel-to-gavel coverage in the one case, that we would be broadcasting selected highlights that would still give people the sense of what's being done there without taking up so much space from the existing programming. Here in Houston, we're not able to hear Democracy Now! Because this thing is being scheduled. And that, to me, that's a major issue. I would much rather hear an hour of Democracy Now! Than an hour of the Roberts hearings, frankly. And I know I'm not alone in that. So I think that the way in which we're doing these network-wide broadcasts really needs to be looked at, and we need to look at what the differences between quality and quantity of significant broadcasts like that.
Well Ken, first of all, the AFL-CIO coverage was collaborative. The Roberts hearings was not collaborative. That was set by the network.
Mm-hmm.
The general managers made that decision and locked that in. The local stations did not have an opportunity to participate in the same way,
mm-hmm.
And they did not discuss the way it was covered. I personally would agree with you that the wall-to-wall coverage on some of these congressional hearings is not the way to go. But, again, we don't have a vehicle for making decisions about programming, on a national basis in a coherent fashion. And that's what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to get that on the new business tonight, is to talk about how are these network broadcasts being negotiated at the present time.
I think that in spite of some of our differences, we're more on the same page than you imagine, and we're going to talk about that in the future. But I would like us to move off the update item of the recent programming collaborations and move into the issue of looking at the policy parameters that we've discussed, that I've sent out to you. Does everyone have that document?
Mm-hmm.
Can we move to that now? I know that one of the things that we've talked about in the past has been the definitions that Ken Freeland and I, for example, worked on a great deal in terms of defining what national programming is versus local station programming or affiliate programming or collaborative broadcasts or network broadcasts. But what I'd like to talk about now is the fact that I think it's incumbent on this committee to define the broad parameters of programming policy that we are going to put in writing and submit to the National Board. And what I'd like to do tonight is simply discuss some of these things that we've touched on in many of the discussions that we've had. And Ken and I have talked at great length about some of these issues, and Bonnie and I, and Joe Wanzala and I, and Arturo Lemus and I. But But the reality is that what we have to do is identify what are the broad parameters of programming that we want to write into a policy. And then my suggestion is, after we have decided that, the thing that we have to focus on is specific language that says what we are trying to achieve with the policy. In other words, what programming do we want to occur? For example, if Ken says, you know, we want coverage of the Supreme Court hearings to provide us with information about the Supreme Court hearings, but we don't feel that it has to be wall-to-wall coverage, that's something that we need to write specifically. The other thing that I think we need to do, and we can't do tonight, but I think what we have to do is we have to look at the issue of who is responsible in the Pacifica network for programming. For example, when we talk about things in the area of program evaluation, one of the things that many of us feel is an essential element of program evaluation that we have failed to do year after year after year is to identify and define our program goals and our station services. And the question comes up, who's going to do that? And it's clearly going to be either the general manager or the program director or somebody in management, but we have to have that information. So that's one aspect that I don't think we can resolve tonight, but we have to do subsequently in developing a program policy, and it deals with whose responsibility is it to make sure that these aspects of programming that we put in writing will be implemented. The other thing that we can't do tonight, but that I think we have to put into the documentation of programming policy, has to do with creating a blueprint for how programming committees in the future basically do oversight and assure that the conditions are complied with that we put in writing here in this policy. So one of the issues is, okay, if we want to make sure that all stations have got positions that provide for programming and production, how do we do that? How is the programming committee supposed to take, how is it supposed to do that? Is it supposed to do something separate from the National Finance Committee that looks at the budget? That's what we have to be clear about. So really what I would like to do tonight is go over this long list of things, and I apologize that it's so long, but we've had a lot of discussions, and my hope is that we can identify which are the things that we think are important to include in a policy tonight and which are the things that we think don't need to be included. And what I'm asking you to agree to is that the next stage of our discussion on this committee will be whose responsibility is it in management or in governance to put these things in place, and secondly, how do we conduct oversight or how do we ensure compliance as a programming committee to make sure that that happens. So is that methodology clear to everybody?
Rob?
Ken?
I would like to suggest that the best way to expedite this situation right now might be for you to go ahead and propose the adoption of the policy statement that you've circulated as a way of moving the discussion forward. I mean, people may have objections to it or whatever, but at least that way we've got something on the table to talk from. And I think once the policy is adopted, assuming that we can get that far, if we get it into a form that we can all accept, then the question of implementation would follow more easily.
I'm open to that. Does anyone have any?
I'm not sure I quite followed that. Are we going to discuss this?
Ken's saying
by
that
point?
We should move that the policy be adopted wholesale, basically.
I've seen Rob has circulated this policy statement, which is a second generation draft of something that was developed earlier, defining different types of programming and what kind of policy might work. I mean, this is to answer the earlier request from requirement of the Pacifica National Board that a policy be in place before there's any question of programming personnel and so forth and so on. And that Rob has put together this, I take it that it's Rob, I don't know that it would come from anyone else, this rather comprehensive policy statement that he circulated. And it seems to me that if he just went ahead and proposed that, if assuming that we're all familiar enough with it to discuss it, that then by deciding whether or not we want to adopt it or, you know, modify it or whatever, we would have a basis from which then to talk about implementation, which I agree with him is the next step, and then we would have a comprehensive package to bring to the Pacifica National Board.
Chair, this is Sean in New York. Just a
Sean?
Point of information. The document that Ken is talking about, is that the one titled Elements of a Programming Policy?
Yes.
Okay.
And what Ken is saying is rather than discussing it point by point, we vote on it. Voted up or down?
Yeah, there are some. I'm sorry, this is Bonnie. There are points in here that would bear discussion, as far as I'm concerned.
This is Ken. Certainly there are. In fact, I've got a major amendment to make to it. But I think that having it out on the table makes it easier for us to do that rather than starting from the very beginning and just saying, well, let's look at this ad seriatim. We could be here all night. You know, I think. I would hope that after, you know, given that we've already had some preliminary discussion on this, that the gist of it is not something that's too controversial, but certainly there are elements in it that each of us may have some differences with or want to discuss further, and that could be done once it's out on the table. But I think getting it out on the table is the quickest way to proceed rather than, I'm not sure what else Rob has in mind here, but it doesn't sound like he's proposing it, and I'm thinking it's going to take us a while to get where we're going if we don't get it on the table.
Well, no, I am proposing these things. I mean, we've discussed all of these things in one way, shape, or form.
Right.
And I want us to develop a program policy, programming policy. But I think that your idea is not a bad one, Ken, that we say let's try to adopt the whole thing, and then maybe in the course of having the discussion, we can discuss what we want to add or change significantly. Madam Secretary, is that a problem? Can we just have a motion to adopt the whole thing and then in the context of discussing it, make amendments?
Well, I think we can. I don't know whether everyone on the call has had a chance to read it, and just for the people who are listening in.
Well, do we need to move through the items quickly to make sure that everyone is clear with what we're talking about?
I think that might be better.
Would that help? Without reading the entire thing, just at least making reference to that?
Yeah.
Can I do that then?
Folks?
Are you doing that by way of proposing it then, Rob?
Hmm?
Are you doing that by way of proposing it? Are you going to read the basis of it as you propose it or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first thing...
I'm sorry. Bonnie?
Yes.
Does that work for you?
I'm sorry. I'm being so thick-headed.
No. I'm just wondering. Would you prefer if we simply summarize the whole thing informally, and then move to motion stage?
If you're saying, can I vote to accept this, having not gone through it?
No.
I'm not getting your point here.
I guess I'm asking, which way do you want us to review it? Do you want us to actually just sort of summarize the major parts that he has here and then discuss each of them? Or do you want us to do you want a general motion saying, okay, we accept this, and then have people raise individual things?
I would prefer the second. After the summary.
Point of information, how might that be advantageous, Ken, in your view?
It would expedite the adoption of the policy. It would mean that unless people had objections to certain parts of it, they would be adopted by default, rather than having to discuss each item, which we might already all agree with.
Well, then
if we all agree with it, is it really going to take that long to read the paragraph?
If we have to discuss each paragraph, yes.
Well, wouldn't we only ostensibly be discussing it if we had a problem with it?
I don't know. That depends on how it's presented.
Well, some people may have not read through the entire thing, and to save time and embarrassment,
right.
Maybe it would be easier to just say, this paragraph says this paragraph says
right.
that, and I can go through that very, or I can
right.
try to go through it quickly.
I think doing that and then proposing the adoption of it would be the quickest way forward.
Well, Bonnie and Serene, does that seem reasonable or unreasonable?
That sounds fine.
Okay. Okay. First of all, I say that in this that it's the responsibility of the national office to allocate resources for programming. I then indicate that it's responsibility of the national board to assure that conditions exist such that we are in fact providing support to the network so that they have sufficient resources to do that. There's a distinct difference between management and governance. Governance's job is really to assure that resources are available to the organization, whereas the job of management is to allocate those resources within management. That may be a subtle point, but it's an important one. The third paragraph, I say that the programming that we do includes local station programming, national programs, network broadcasting, affiliate programs, commission programs. We've talked about this before, and we've defined this stuff at great length. Then in terms of national programming, we indicate that national programming should derive from successful local station programs that are elevated, you know, and produced for a national audience. And for example, we say that the production of the proposed international Spanish language daily newscast should be a model for what we do with developing national programs in the future.
Should we be mentioning things that we have a problem with or not?
Yeah, go ahead, Bonnie.
Well, I don't know what that means. The production of the proposed international Spanish language daily newscast should be a model for the practice of developing national programs.
We're taking a program from KPFK that has been very successful, that's connected them with radio stations and journalistic sources throughout Latin America in an amazing way, and we're saying that the way we take this show from a local station successful show to a national station successful show, we should learn lessons along the way about what we do the next time we decide to make a national program.
This is Ken.
Ken?
Well, my concern is with the normative language that you're using there. And I don't know if you've had a chance to see the amendment that I offered today, because I didn't even see your proposal till today. But I don't believe that we should be precluding other origins of national programming. I think it's very important, like you're saying, that we should learn lessons. That's one thing to say, we should learn lessons. It's another thing to say that all national programming should follow this pattern, because there are other patterns that are appropriate. And I deal with them in the course of my amendment when we get into the question of commissioned programming. And I don't think that we can have both kinds of language. And the original document from which this one was drawn, I assume, the one that sort of emerged out of the discussions of the collaborative programming committee or subcommittee, did keep the way open for programming to be originated in other ways without precluding either way of initiating or originating programming.
Sure.
So I'm requesting that term should be replaced with something that's not normative but descriptive, to say that our programming typically follows such and such a pattern or something like that. I can't remember exactly how I put it. I'll bring that up.
No, typically follows is great. I mean,
yeah.
I think, you know, I'm being blunt with everybody here. There is a great fear that Pacifica will try to force national programming, that will try to bring something in and make people carry something that the local stations have no involvement in. And the reality is that if we want to be tremendously successful, what we want to do is look at what's going on at the local stations that is tremendously successful and figure out how to raise the production values and make it nationally successful.
Well, again, I think that's one way of doing it, but there are other
right.
ways. Suppose,
there are
supposing
other
that
ways
we have
of
a
doing
real
it,
serious...
and we're not trying to cut anything off. So
right.
I think your suggestion of saying typically follows the pattern
mm-hmm.
is a way of amending the language
right.
that doesn't do violence to anything
right.
And we all understand that, that generally speaking, what we want to do at Pacifica is we want to take the really great local station programs that have potential to be national programs and make them national programs.
Mm-hmm.
If they have that potential. If
right.
they don't, we certainly don't want to try to make them that way.
Right.
This is Serene.
Serene?
I think, who was that? Bonnie?
No, wait. Go ahead, please.
I think just the fact that we use the word should be a model, it doesn't say should be the model. So it certainly leaves room there for use of, you know, development of other models.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Should be a model. Ken, is that okay with you?
Yeah, a model is definitely not, is loosening it up a little bit to
okay.
allow for other possibilities.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. Bonnie?
But
yes, Ken?
Well, you know, I want to wait till we, I want to not sign off on this until we get to the amendment part, because I have a major amendment to make, which will include amendment to this language and amendment to the other time when this question comes up. So I'd rather wait till then before we make a decision on this, if that's okay with everyone. Okay. The major amendment concerns the question of commissioned programming, which has been excluded as a category from this particular document, but not from the previous document from which it's drawn.
That's probably just an omission.
I'm sure it's an oversight, but I want to include it back. And as
okay.
I do so, I want to change this language and the other time when this is mentioned in the document to read a different kind of way, so that it corresponds to the possibility of commissioned programming.
Okay, Bonnie, did you have something to say?
Maybe I'm really not understanding this. Are you holding up the process thus far on the International Spanish Language Daily Newscast as a model for how shows should be put together? Or
No. What we're saying...
What are you saying there? Because, frankly, I haven't heard the show, and this is not... I'm not casting any aspersion on this show whatsoever. But the production of this proposed show has now sat in committee for a year. And only last night was brought up on a National Finance Committee meeting.
But that has nothing to do
confusion.
With...
confusion. So I'm not understanding what you are saying about the way that the International Spanish Language Daily Newscast is coming together should be looked at as a model.
First of all, Bonnie, there is no process for taking a program, however wonderful it is, and elevating it in Pacifica. We don't want to do that. We hate that. We discourage that. We haven't done that. Okay? And what we're trying to do cuts against that grain. There has been no process in place in this network to take the best shows that we have, or to take needs that listeners articulate and turn them into national programs, or take voices. We may have somebody who has a wonderful voice, who is in a show which is okay but not that great, and we may put that person in another production situation, and it could be a big success. We have no way of doing that. All we're saying here is that in doing the elevation of the Spanish language newscast, we will try to learn lessons about how to do this better in the future. It's not that this is the only way it should happen. It's not this is the only direction in which it should happen. You may have someone that comes in and says, hey, you know, I'm Hugo Chavez. And I got run out of Brazil, of Venezuela, and I came to the United States, and now I want to take my unique media skills and bring them to Pacifica, and we may say, okay, Hugo Chavez,
correct.
This is how we're going to do it with you.
Correct.
Okay, that's going to be a top-down thing. I don't think Pacifica likes that stuff, but we may do that under some circumstances because it makes sense. But generally what I'm saying is that we should take the example of this local station program that Fernando Velasquez has developed and use this as a model for how we develop national programs and see how it works and learn our lessons from that. That's all I'm saying.
All right. And the way it reads to me is that we are recommending that whatever happens with the Spanish language daily newscast is a good model to aspire to. And those are not the same thing.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
So it sounds like we all agree with the first sentence.
Is that Ngozi?
Yes.
Okay.
It could be that we're agreeing on the first sentence, but in fact we're saying that each station should develop a model for developing these national programs. Maybe we don't want to get specific. I'm thinking that if we can back off as much of the specifics as we can, but still keep the generics that we can agree on, maybe we can move through it.
Yeah, I just think we have to change the language that says the International Spanish Language Daily Newscast may be a model for learning lessons about how to do this in the future.
Well, I'm even hearing that there might be issues with getting specific about what show might be a model.
I'm not sure that in policy you use specific shows as examples, do you?
We're just stating that a model needs
but we're bear in mind in presenting this policy to a board that has no prior experience of programming policy in any way, shape, or form, and has no experience of developing national programs in any way, shape, or form, that has people that say Democracy Now is a terrible thing. On the other hand, Democracy Now is raising $1 out of $4 that we earn. We want the national board to understand what we're trying to tell them here, which is that developing national programs from local station broadcasts could be a very effective way for them to build audience and increase their financial health.
And I think we can make that statement without using specific examples.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Because that's where it seems like we're getting hung up, is on this specific
example.
Okay,
well, can you and Bonnie, you know, work on that paragraph?
Yeah, God, I'm so sorry. I promise after we get through this one, I won't say anything about a few paragraphs.
No, it's just that you have to either be quick on your feet or, you know.
Can I make a suggested
point? Serene?
After the sentence, national programming should derive from very successful, and we'll argue about what successful means, but whatever, local station programs that are produced for national audiences.
Mm-hmm.
How about such as the proposed international Spanish language?
Yeah.
Okay. Will that satisfy the concerns? Does that work? Anybody there?
I'm not
Works
sure.
for me.
I don't know that it needs example. In that sentence, national programming should derive from very successful local station programs. It's a little awkward. I think perhaps you don't want to say that are produced for national audiences. Might there be a way to say that the seed for these programs starts locally and then they are not elevated, but they are disseminated on a national level? Or the other thing that sort of worries me about it is this only allows one instance. It allows national programming derived from local stations. And as you were just saying,
right,
Rob, it may come to us
right
that there is somebody great, you know, nationally known who suddenly decides they want to be a disc jockey. And we do want to, you know, start a show from a national level. I just wonder if we can't broaden this a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if Allen Ginsberg comes back from the grave, I think we should definitely put him on Pacifica.
I'm down with that.
Well, okay. And there are other reasons, too, why we might be commissioning programming outside of this particular model.
Absolutely.
And that's why I again go back to the language, tends to derive, rather than should derive, tends to derive from. Okay, it becomes descriptive rather than normative. It doesn't put us into a box, but it does recognize that this is a very valid pathway to get to national programming.
Okay, well, I don't think that we're in conflict here. I think we're not sure how to say, you know, how to stretch the language around all of the cases in which we might want to do something constructive. But I agree.
I don't think we're going to get a policy statement that describes all the possibilities. I think what you're trying to do here, Rob, and what I think people agree with is we want to recognize that good local programming is one of the best fountains of good national programming. And I think we can agree with that without saying this is the only way we're ever going to get there. And that's the problem with the existing wording, is that it seems to imply that this is a norm that we should be sticking with at all times. And that's not useful in my perspective, because I want to keep the door open for commission programming, such as you were describing earlier.
Well, no, I clearly feel that the point is, as you said, and the point that I'm trying to make, although clumsily, is that, yes, the local programming should be the fountain for national programming. But it's not always going to be, that will not always be the case.
Right, so it's taking should out is beneficial. It's saying tends to be the most productive.
Okay, well, I've done that.
Okay.
So if anybody has any other linguistic changes, you know, let me know.
May I make a point here? I'm trying to take the minutes, but I don't have this in front of me.
You don't have the what?
I don't have your draft in front of me.
Can I email it?
Yeah, I emailed it to you.
Okay, but you see, I'm not at my computer. I'm at the computer at the station.
Okay, so how can we help you?
So I'm just saying, you might want to, as you go, read what you feel are the changes you're making, and when we read the minutes at the end of the meeting, you read this part, because I can't cut and paste.
Okay.
So you do the cut and pasting as you are making changes, and then when we come to that part of the minutes, you read that, okay?
Serene, can you help me with what she just said? Because I don't know that
I'll also take notes as we go.
Okay, okay.
Because you're saying...
Serene, are you there?
Serene!
I am, yes.
By the way, Alan Minsky's here. Been listening in for about 20 minutes.
Minsky.
Hey, Robinson.
Okay, we're going to have to do this collaboratively, but I think we're working in a good place here. And if I'm wrong, somebody can correct me. National operations. I have to say that one of the concerns that I have is that national programming is also directly related to the affiliate program, to the way people do the technical operations that enable us to broadcast the Supreme Court hearings or information about what's going on with Katrina. And I'm very unhappy that I can't see any of that stuff in the budget, that like national programming, there is not only not somebody that's doing it, but there is no definition for it. So what I'm saying there with national operations is that the funding for all of these functions that deal with the affiliates, our network broadcasting, the technical operations part of that, the internet and website stuff, which can conceivably enable our local stations to generate hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue that they're not doing now, is something that should be part of program policy. In other words, national operations for all the programming that we do has to be broken out in the budget. And people may disagree with that, but unfortunately I'm concerned that these are the things that will enable us to grow audience and develop diverse revenues that we're not doing now, and which is why we're in financial trouble. So I'll say that and let the rest of the group comment. Okay, network broadcasts. This is real simple. The only thing about network broadcasting that I'm trying to express here is that if we're going to have a network broadcast in Houston, or if we're going to do a network broadcast about Katrina, it doesn't make sense that we do not allow the reporters that have been reporting on that issue from KPFT in Houston to be involved in the broadcast, which is kind of what happened recently. And that's very simple in my mind. So I don't want to go into any more detail than that. Is there discussion or comment on that?
This is Serene.
Serene?
I think it's certainly reasonable that if you're doing a UN story, I mean, if
for no other reasons than the cost of travel. That provided they are qualified people at BAI, and of course, I will modestly state that the people at BAI are qualified to do everything. But if we're doing a UN story, I would expect that BAI would have a role in it. I was surprised, and this has nothing to do with the individuals who were involved in the Roberts hearing, but it took place in D.C., and I had expected that there would have been greater participation, for example, from PFW. So I certainly...
There's a long story there, but go ahead.
This being Pacifica, I'm sure there are several stories there.
Of course.
But I certainly think it's reasonable that the station where the broadcast originates should have a primary role. It doesn't stop it from being a collaborative process.
Yeah.
Or from involving, you know, program or some other station.
What I'm trying to say here is that if Pacifica did a story about the Bolton hearing, 9 times out of 10, we would do something about Bolton with people from Washington, D.C. We would not contact people in New York, which is where the UN is located, and find out what people that have worked with him before think about him being nominated as the UN ambassador. And all I'm saying in this place is that, and I think Serene was trying to underscore that, is that we need to do a better job than that of doing this type of programming. So, Serene, have I done violence to what you said?
Not incredible violence,
but Rob, could I get on stack?
Sure, Bonnie.
I'm sorry, I had to get off to grab another phone, so if I'm repeating something somebody said in the last 90 seconds, I'm sorry. I wondered if it might be considered to change it to say, shall always provide that the local station in a city from which the program originates play a substantial role in the development, hosting, and production of the broadcast. Only because I do imagine that there could be instances where it makes sense to... have somebody else hosting, or and I don't think that I'm shooting a big hole in it.
No, send me that language. I'll put it in there.
It's
I think
just that's changing the word "leading" to "substantial role."
That's it.
That's all. I think I said it a little differently, but you could just do that. You could just change the word "leading" to "substantial."
Okay. Mission-driven programming. This is like Articles of Faith, people. Everybody that has a program scheduled should be playing it back against the mission. I don't think we have to discuss this. At least I hope we don't. But if anyone wants to say something, now is the time.
Rob, this is Ngozi.
Ngozi, yeah.
I think that here, just as you delineated the 6 organizational purposes that you took from the bylaws or the mission statement, I think that it would be good for us to just delineate those there.
State them?
Yeah, just to state them out straightforward.
Yeah, you're right.